price on being in this presence. I just thank God for his favor, blessing, goodness to all of us. It's all because of the goodness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We serve a good God who cares about us and loves us and deals with us and chastens us. We serve a wonderful Heavenly Father. And I want you to go to your Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. I'm with this morning. Once again, if you're a visitor, welcome. God bless you that you're here with us here this morning. We appreciate everybody being here. Hebrews chapter 12 today. And it is Father's Day, as many of us know. And I forget how old I'm getting, I guess, because I keep getting this Father's Day. It feels out of place at first. But I am a father. I'm there now, and I appreciate what God's doing and all the new children that are born in the church, the new fathers and family. God is good. And it's exciting when you see new life in the church. And ultimately today, there's a lot of things. I was going to talk directly to fathers today, as I often have done in the past. But today we're going to talk about a subject that would be considered a little different maybe for a Father's Day message. But nevertheless, we're going to talk about our Heavenly Father and his dealings within our lives, his chastenings, his correction. I don't know how you were raised, but I was raised, my dad would correct me. I don't know what we consider correction. I know some people have different strategies, and then I have met people who look at things that works for them. And when I was younger, you got what was called a whooping. Amen, that's what they called it. Your father would correct you. It was always in love. I believe it was anyhow. I still don't know this. He said, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. It took me a while to kind of get that. But I understand the context of that. When you really love your children, I don't enjoy correcting my children. I didn't say abusing my children. But I said rightfully correcting them in a proper way. It's not abusive. But you know, I do feel that in my heart, because why do you correct your children? Because you love them. You know, why do my daughter, don't go on the road, sweetie, and she runs out the road. Why would I correct her not to go on the road? I don't want her to die. I love her enough that I want her to live and to have a good life. So we're going to look today at what our Heavenly Father does in our lives. And this is a part of the parental relationship of God to us. I want you to understand that. If you're not a Christian, then you are under what we call condemnation and punishment, which means that the Lord is judging you because of sin. If I said the Lord's judging you, it's just natural. God is a righteous God. But if you are a child of God, he doesn't judge you in condemnation. He chastens you as a father would a son because he loves you. It is parental. And we don't realize, or I think understand, just how much this parental relationship with God the Father in our lives, how much it plays in us to be on the right road. God will correct you to keep you on the right path. We're going to talk about that here today, because a lot of times we overlook the corrections of the Lord, but I'm glad the Lord chastens me. I'm glad there's been a few times I've had to get down and to repent, because God showed me something in my life that I didn't even realize that may have been detrimental at that moment. But nevertheless, the Lord corrected me and showed me things. Hebrews chapter 12. If you're there, I'm going to start reading in verse 3. We're going to go over these verses, and I've just got some things I want to mention about that once again. For consider him, this is verse 3 of Hebrews 12. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening or the correction of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he who the father chasteneth not? If ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. You are fatherless, is what he's saying there. Verse 9, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of the spirits and live? For they barely for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, and we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them are exercised thereby.
We would understand that in the Bible, when it comes to God correcting us as His children, there's many different passages in the Bible and many different ways that God will do so. You find in the book of Matthew chapter 18 how we as fellow believers help to keep each other on the right track. Said if you find a brother in a sin or a fault, what does it tell us to do? That I as an individual should go to them individually. Let them know about the situation. If they will not heed the warning that I give them, it says take two or three others, people that are trustworthy, go to them. And then if the person is completely unrepentant, it said that you bring it before the church. If you study the epistles of the New Testament, what happens when there is a person who will not heed the chastening of the Lord or the chastening of the church? You found that there in the book of Corinthians that Paul actually left this, that he wanted the church to excommunicate somebody because they would not listen to the will of God and the chastenings of the Lord. Now, I would honestly say there's only been a couple times in my years of ministry, I had to leave the ministry that I was at that time, where you actually had to bring something up before the whole congregation because it was so detrimental and so dangerous. And basically what happened, that person had got to a place that they had fallen away from the Lord in such a way that you could not correct them. You could not reason with them. And I'll tell you, before anybody ever has to come to you directly, and this is a true saying, the Lord will deal with you individually. The Lord does not want to expose anybody. It's not His will to do so. He will if it's necessary. And even as a pastor, you know that there's things that people have come to me about, I've had to go to them about individually, that I rejoice in the fact that they submitted to biblical counsel. I'm not talking about my own suggestions or preferences, but with an open Bible, I said, the Bible says this. And they said, thank you, Brother Derek. I will heed the warning in which you have given me, and I did not have to take it any further. There's only been a handful of times that I've had to take it the next step and had to get counsel and get other people involved. But God would rather deal with you individually before the pastor ever deals with you. Amen. God would rather for you to listen to His drawing and His chastenings ever before anything ever has to be exposed about anybody. And I believe that is so of our earthly fathers. Nevertheless, that is so of our heavenly Father as well. We look at this word chasten, and in our English language, we really don't use that frequently. If you were raised in church or have any church context, you've heard of chastisement and chastening. But to be honest with you, in our English language, the word there basically means correction, where God disciplines us is probably the best way to put that. In the original language, the word means more than just punishment, but it's a word that's used for training as well. It is cultivating a soul. It's including corrective issues, curbing passions, protecting against danger, instruction, aiming to increase character. That's what it is for our Heavenly Father to so move in our individual lives that He is treating us as we are children. Why does He do that? Because we are His children. Notice that we are His children. We are His sons and His daughters. So it is His parental right to correct us and to train us and to lead us away from the dangerous paths that are in this world. So understand once again, that is what discipline is. It's training and correcting for a good outcome. Let me show you three different areas here in which God does these things, or why. Chastisement. There's three different points underneath that word chastisement that I would like to share with you at the beginning of this message. Number one, God in His chastisement as a Heavenly Father will use chastisement to correct us. What this is the pruning of the branches. This is the painful slicing away of that which is bad in our lives. And here today, if you are a child or a daughter of God, there has been times in your life, if you were to be honest, that God had to come to you and show you something about your character, something about your attitude, something about your decisions, something about your preferences, things that are not even sinful, that may be lawful in your life, but yet God will come to you and touch on those things, and He would say to you, as your Heavenly Father, I am correcting you because you should not have done that, you should not have said that, you should not have went there, and God corrects us, and once again, I'm glad that He does that for us. I correct my daughter because, and my son's getting there. I correct them because I understand what they do not. I understand if they do this, and if I don't deal with these attitudes and passions, they'll have those same attitudes and passions as adults. There's some adults that's never had attitudes dealt with it before, and yet they have them now because it was never dealt with by their parents. But I want you to know God will deal with bad spirits and attitudes and sins and failures. God will deal with it. I've learned in my own life, God don't leave any stone unturned. He does not let me have reservations with Him that I tell God, don't go in that room, Lord. Don't you come in this part of my life, Lord. No, He stands up. It's just like a kid that looks at their parents and says, this is my room. No, it's not. No, my father used to tell me, he said, it's what? It's my room. He said, no, it's not. Matter of fact, one time he said he was going to put a closet in my room, and he took the door off the hinges. He said, you're not shutting the door. This is my house. It's my room. I pay the bills, and you're welcome to stay in here if you like, but it's my rule. He was my father. I want to tell you, God owns it all. You can't hide anything from Him. You cannot have no reservation. God deals with us as a heavenly Father. And you say, Brother Derek, how far will God take this correction in my life? He'll take it pretty far. As a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, when it's dealing with communion, he said there's some that are chastened of the Lord, that drinketh damnation to themselves, and they are weak and sickly, and some of them are asleep, because God corrected them in such a way that He even allowed physical things to come upon them as a form of correction in their life. Will God allow it to get that far? Yes, He can. I want to go ahead and tell you, just to remind you, just in case you forgot, there's nowhere that you can go that God is not there. Once again, you can be like Jonah, you can get on a boat, you can think you're getting away. God will create a storm. He'll create a fish. He'll have them throw you overboard, swallow you up, spit you up on shore. And next thing you realize, you know what? It doesn't matter where I go. Like the psalmist said, if I make my bed, if I lie down in the bottoms of the earth, He's there. If I soar to the heavens, He is there. You just can't get away from God. It's a scary thing. Especially when you know the truth. I learned this as a teenager at 20 years old, even when I got saved. I realized this. God, the hounds of heaven have been on my heels for several years. I may not have yielded to Him, but I realized this. God owns it all. You think you're blessed today, He can take your help just like that. You think you've got finances today, He can allow your car, He can allow your wash machine, your dryer, He can allow everything to go south all in one day just for you to realize, you know what? God can do whatever He wants to do. Quit blaming on the devil. There's sometimes God allows things to happen. Now, if you're a faithful believer and something goes wrong, that don't mean you're being corrected. It just means sometimes the washing machine does break down. But I remember when I was a sinner, I had bought a Volkswagen Passat, 180,000 miles on it. I couldn't even keep gas in the tank, but I went and bought the biggest rims I could get. I remember when I thought I was the coolest thing on this side of heaven. I would ride around, wires showing on my tires, and realize I thought I had everything figured out. I got a good job, I thought, but I felt like God allowed all that to be taken away. I'm laying there, and the only place you can look at rock bottom is up.
Amen.
What is that? God was chastening me even as a sinner. It was punishment, yes, but He was allowing me to know that I figured out as a believer, He still deals with me, but this time in a parental manner. The Lord uses chastisement as prevention as well. The Lord fences you in. He tells you to be careful what you expose yourself to. These are barriers that the Lord puts in our lives to shelter us, to separate us from things that are corrupt to us. Just like an earthly father gives you restrictions, your heavenly Father will give you restrictions as well. Don't do this, Derek. Don't go there, Derek. And whoever you are, put your name in the blank. God gives you restrictions on purpose because He does not want you to hurt yourself. Like the one writer said, when God tells you no, He's really saying don't hurt yourself. He realizes that what you're doing and where you're going and what you're a part of is going to be destructive in your life. So He tells you, do not be a part of that. That's why my dad used to tell me, be home by 10. He used to tell you nothing good happens after 10. Back in those days, you didn't even, they won't even know all these TV channels. There won't even nothing good that came on at 10. The weather came on, and that is good, excuse me. But my dad, but you know what? I got to a rebellious place, and I came to realize there ain't too much good happening in town after 10. Unless you're with the church folks and you're eating after revival. What I'm trying to tell you is this, brothers and sisters. There are restrictions in our lives that God gives us. He does that, just like as a father. I don't want my children overexposed to the corrupting things in this world. I don't want it to corrupt them. So what do? I shield them from those things. And that's how God does in our lives. He's protecting us when He gives us restrictions and rules in our lives. That's why God's giving you the Bible. He don't want you to hurt yourself. Live after His word. Third thing is, God will actually educate you through chastisement at times. We understand that these are things that educate us, experiences that lead us deeper into our relationship with God. I want to give you I said 3 points earlier. You thought I was done, didn't you? 3 other points, but these are broader points with sub-points, so just hang on with me for a few moments. I want to talk to you about the perils and the proofs and the products of chastisement. Number one, there are 2 perils of discipline that we find, things that we should avoid in verse 5. Let me read verse 5 to you once again for your memory's sake. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening, the corrections of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. These are 2 things that you want to avoid when you're being corrected by God. Number one, do not despise being corrected. Number 2, do not faint when you are being corrected. These are opposite extremes. You can either think that God's chastisement is minor, not a big deal, or it can knock you flat on your back and you think it's the worst thing in the world. You must avoid the ditch on both sides of the road, and you need to walk forward when the Lord is correcting you. Number 1, he said, do not despise the correction of the Lord. Like the children of Israel, you've got to be careful, because constantly you may complain, or you may become embittered towards the Lord when He's really just trying to help you. My father used to correct me. I despise the chastenings of Lonnie Jones. I did. And if you ever got corrected, don't act like you loved it. Right? But I've seen both extremes. I remember being young, I was kind of more on the side, I think I was fainting. That's the worst thing in the world. When I became a teenager, I began to despise it. And I like what A.W. Pink said about this. God chastens twice if you're not humbled by the first. Amen. There's a purpose in which God is correcting you. He's trying to humble you. He's trying to bring you into subjection to Him. He's trying to show you that this is what you should do. You can treat it lightly by failing to submit. But can I tell you, when God corrects you and you straighten your back and you square your shoulders and you look at Him, when you get tears in your eyes and say, I will not submit, you are in a dangerous place. If anything, you might have already forfeited grace in your life when you do that. Only God truly knows the final line there. God only knows when a person goes from being chastened to being backslidden. It's a fine line. Not my job as a preacher to go around and say, you're backslidden. That person may be in a state of chastisement at that moment, where God is dealing with them and correcting them, getting them back on the right path. So it's a dangerous game. So if you are here today and God has chastened you, loosen up. Get that fight out of your spirit. Get that rebellion out of your spirit. Look at God and say, Lord, you've got my attention. You don't want me to go that way, because if I get into the roads of sin, if I go down that decision, or if I take that path, then my life can end up completely shattered and broken, and it did take a great, marvelous act of grace even to put it all back together. And when it's all put back together, I still have the scars to bear in my life. My children will suffer. My marriage will suffer. My faith. God's saying, don't go that way. Don't go that way. The other extreme is, don't faint. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, or be weary at correction. This means don't sink down to the level of despondency. Don't get discouraged. You are being chastened. Don't feel crushed because of that. You ought to be humbled by that. Don't you get to the place and say, the Lord don't love me. It's the opposite. He loves you.
Yes.
That's why He's correcting you.
Yes.
I tried that a few times. Dad, you don't love me.
Really?
Son, I put clothes on your back. I give you a place to live. I give you a way to school. And I correct you because you're doing something wrong. And you're going to come with that very immature, childish answer. And I know children will be children and say, I don't love you. Oh my, hear me, son, I do love you. And the reason I'm doing this at this moment is so that you will understand I'm trying to help you. So don't let the devil lie to you that right now in your life, if you're being chastened by the Holy Ghost, don't say to yourself, God don't love me. No, turn, flip the script and say, look, God does love me. That's why He's even dealing with me. I felt His love here this morning.
Yeah.
Some of you felt His love here this morning. It's up to you to accept it, and I hope many of you did. So a lot of times, I've met people that want sympathy, but they really needed to repent. I have met people before, they wanted sympathy, and they really needed to yield to God's rod of correction. So quit defending your actions and accept it. You simply cannot do it your way. His world, His rules. And then we got this postmodern mindset. If you don't know what postmodernism is, anti-Christian, atheist mindsets. Who's God to tell me what to do in this world? Well, the one that the world is His footstool is allowed to tell me, don't go hurt myself, I'm sorry. If He wants to disrupt my life, it's His right. God can do that. Why? Because He loves me here today. Two proofs of His discipline right now in verses 6 through 8. Number one, notice this. He says, for whom the Lord loves, He corrects, and He scourges every son that He receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? But if you without chastisement were all, you do not have a father. So notice this. God's correction proves two things. Number one, God loves you. And number two, you are His son or daughter. God's love, once again, is the reason He corrects us. Revelation 3 and 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. It is not because of love that we are even saved today and redeemed. But I would say to you once again, it's because of love that I'm still standing here today. You wouldn't even be here today if God didn't love you continuously. And the Holy Ghost was not ever nigh you. And when you sat down in the morning and opened your Bible, if the Holy Ghost won't sit there at the table with you, if God was not intervening in your life, if He was not overruling certain situations that if you don't even know about at times, I'm telling you, God's all around us. That's why He corrects us, because He loves us here today. Now, this is understandable once again, because we know that any father who loves his child will discipline that child. Why? Because he wants the best for them. A real good father corrects because it is the best for them. Number two, he says he scourges every son he receives. Deals with us as sons. He does that because you are a son. Proverbs 13 and 24, just in case you didn't know this was in the Bible. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth his son chastens him many times. That's what the Bible says. It says, correct in love. When God loves you as well, He will correct you. Number three, the two products of discipline. Verses 9 and 10. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. Can anybody say amen to that? Fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. It was something about mama saying, when your daddy gets home. There were certain things I knew as a child you could skirt around with mama. But when your daddy gets home, and you hope he has a good day at work. What did she say? What she said? The man that you reverence is coming. The one that you fear, not in a tormenting fear, but my father loved us tremendously, but the one you know is going to be the ruler of this home is coming home. And notice this. He said, if your parents corrected you, it says, so we gave them reverence, shall we not much rather be in subjection unto God of the spirits and live? God wants you to live. And sinners think they're living. They're dead as they're born. regenerated. Don't think just because you can work a job that you're alive, not spiritually. This life is short. I preached a funeral yesterday of a 61-year-old woman who in her time was a beautiful woman, well-kept, well-dressed. I mean, the healthy one, the healthiest people I know. But guess what? Yesterday in the casket, it broke our hearts. Why is that? Because life is short. Life is more than just here. When you leave this world, your spirit is going somewhere. God wants you to live forever. But only can He do that when He corrects us and allows us the relationship with Christ. Number one, we reverence Him. What does it do? It produces reverence within us. A believer that is obedient is living the Christian life to the max. A rebellious person, an undisciplined person, they do not enjoy life even though they say they do. Number two, what does it produce? It produces holiness. It says there, that last portion that I read to you, for they verily for a few days chased us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Can I tell you this? Holiness will make you happy. Amen. Holiness will make you happy. Sometimes people look at the church, especially if they don't understand, and they don't know anything about the Bible, know anything about Christ. They'll look at the church and say, my, they don't seem like, you know, they're in bondage. But I'm telling you one thing, I know if I'm in bondage, I'm a mighty happy person in slavery right now. Last 10 years of my life have been the best years of my life. Last few years, even sharing many memories and milestones of my life, children being born here at this church, preaching to you, growing with you, coming from a 26-year-old pastor, now I'm 30 years old, and still wet behind the ears. I understand that, but understand this. I enjoy life now. There's a smile. There's joy. I never had lasting joy as a sinner. But why is God chasing me? If I begin to go towards ungodliness, why will God say, don't do that? Because He realizes that an ungodly life is an unhappy life. But He realizes that a godly life is a happy life. It's pure. It's clean. It brings you joy. Even if you get bad diagnosis, guess what? You're going to get sick as a sinner too. But even when you get sick as a Christian, you still have a blessed hope. There's nothing like standing beside the deathbed of a loved one who's lived their life for Jesus Christ, and they sit there with a smile on their face as they're going to eternity. What is that? It's because they learned to listen to the voice and the corrections of God, and God kept them in a godly way, and so their life is happy. Verse 11, I'm almost done. Now, no chastening, and I'm sure you would understand if anybody's ever been corrected before. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous. How many know that when you were being chastened, it's probably not the happiest moment of your life? You're probably like, let's do it again. Wonderful. This is the greatest thing. What? I've been corrected. No. There's times God will chasten you, and you'll have tears in your eyes. There's times God will chasten you, and you realize I shouldn't be that way or act that way or go that way or do this. Whatever it is, I can name a multitude of things in which God can tell you don't be a part of. And in that time, you realize this isn't joyous. But notice what it says. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. There is an afterward to your chastening if you repent and you submit to God Almighty. And the afterward is this. When you yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Righteousness, once again, is holiness. And holiness, once again, is true happiness. And once you understand that God chastens me so that I'll yield the fruit of righteousness, that I will be happy. You will be a happy person no matter where you are. God chastens me because He loves me. Stand to your feet this morning. For the day of His Father's Day, I know, and I talk to you about your Heavenly Father in the capacity that God is dealing with you, chastening you. Now, we've had a wonderful service already today. The Holy Ghost has moved. People have been touched. We've preached the Word. I'm not a magician. I don't sit up here. I'm not trying to pull a rabbit out of a hat and impress anybody.
I'm not trying to do anything
but deliver what's in the Bible to you, to me. But it's up to you and I to respond. That's what it's up to. My wife goes to the piano here today. I remember, and I thought about sharing this, I wasn't 100% sure, but unless you've ever dealt, everybody's got different backgrounds. I don't believe there's one sweeping brush that describes every experience. When you got saved, you were probably in a different state or level of life than I was. Some of you might have been older or younger, your experiences, whatever, orchestrated the events to where you got to your end. You know what they are. But my experience was as such. I really tried to run from Him. I've shared it with other people before, but even when I first got saved, there was a nature change. I knew I had been born again. My, the pull of the world. Friends calling me up. You know, even when I go back, even though I'm preaching a funeral, when I'm riding down the roads, I remember that house. I remember that car wreck. It's where a friend died. Somebody overdosed over here. That's where I was when I was so overwhelmed by my own sins and addictions, laying there. I often see those areas and I'm reminded of where I was. When I first got saved, it wasn't like I got born again and everything just disappeared. I thought that was going to happen. I thought when I got saved in Pennsylvania, by the time I get to North Carolina, man, everything's going to be straightened out. My debt's paid. Wouldn't that be nice? The job that I messed up, I still did. The job was still gone. The relationships in my family that I have demolished, still there. You know what? I'll be honest, when I first got saved, the pressure at a few times always felt overwhelming. I knew God was with me. And every now and then I would respond. I know I would respond in the flesh. And I would say, I'd get frustrated in this. And all of a sudden, I'd get down to pray. I had made up my mind. After work, I'm going to that church to pray at least an hour every afternoon after work. It'd be many afternoons. Brotherhood, I would unlock the door to that little black door church. I would actually fall on my hands and knees, and I would crawl to the altar. Not because I knew God loved me, but I knew that God was chastening me to be in the right standings with Him. And at times it seemed unbearable. But I learned as I would pray through, get up, make the phone call, apologize, whatever it was. I felt so much peace. Now I stand before you today and people look at me. I've had them say, I could imagine Brother Derek having a bad attitude. You don't even know. You don't know where I was. But 10 years later, I'm not saying I'm pristine. I'm not in a glorified body by no means. But I tell you this, I'm a lot further than where I used to be. And I know, if you're honest, if I'm honest, there'll be a few more times between here and glory. God will say, Derek, son, don't. You shouldn't. He'll do that again. When I've learned this, He does it out of love. And when I subject myself to Him, I'll stay here once again. Years later, I'm the happiest I've ever been. Yield to Him. If you're here today, you say, Brother Derek, I know the Lord's not, He doesn't hate me, God loves you. If you feel condemnation, then you really need it. If you know you're saved today and you feel condemned, tell the devil to be quiet and leave you alone. If you know you're lost, if you know you've been doing things wrong and you feel the guilt, guess what? Good for you. Because it's through our guilt that God reveals His holiness to us. And when God reveals His holiness to us, I embrace that. And I'm happy. So I don't know where you are today. But don't despise the chastenings of the Lord. And don't faint either. Don't faint either. I'm going to pray. This is going to be in a moment. Fathers, men, get ready. I'm going to have you stand around the front. But I want to pray. Because true preaching, true biblical preaching is something that when you leave here, it'll still affect you. And I trust when you leave here today, you have a greater understanding of this. And God can help you. I don't know about you right now. If you're in this room and you need to repent, you need to get it right with God, if you've been underneath the chastening of the Lord, God can help you. But don't straighten up your back, square your shoulders. Look at Him and say, help me, Lord. And he will. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father.